So today's daf in Masechet Eruvin is, very sadly, daf Kuf Hei, which is the final daf of Eruvin. And just so that we wouldn't have such a traumatic ending, yesterday we decided to stop by the Mishnah, and that way we can get Richie's concluding Fangdan or Zok the Helika Mishnah anyway, the last time in Eruvin this time around. And we look forward to many times back in Eruvin, Rich. Ad Me'av V'Esrim.
Are we ready?
We are ready, sir. Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis. And so, to conclude our discussion of the particular things that are mutter in the Beis Hamikdash and usser elsewhere, we end up with the Mishnah that describes to us what the din is of a sheretz shenimtza b'mikdash. Now, actually, this question is nogea not only Shabbos. It's actually something that is nogea even during the Chol. The reason we bring it over here on Shabbos is because here we get into the question also of the problem of mukta. But that, of course, is secondary to the bigger problem of how do we get a sheretz out. And we could, obviously, if we want to take the time, we could just get a kli that is not mekabel tuma and take it out without causing tumah anywhere. The problem is that as long as the tumah remains in the Beis HaMikdash, remember that we have a mitzvah shiluach to me, which means that shihia, even allowing tumah to remain in the Beis HaMikdash, is an iser. So the question is, what's better? We have a choice. I mean, we could simply, we don't want the kohen to touch the sheretz, obviously, because then he himself is going to be the Beis HaMikdash b'tumah, which is an iser. So what he could do is he could take the most immediately available thing, and that would be his article of clothing that he's wearing. So he could simply take his avnet, pick up the sheretz, which would be terrible because it would be metame the avnet, which itself is not supposed to be metuma, but at least this way, even though we're being marbatuma, we zip out of there with both tame things, and that way we didn't have any problem with shehiyah. But on the other hand, we could say, well, better passively to leave it there for another 5 minutes till I can run and get something that's not going to be mekabel tuma to pick it up and to take it out. And that would be better. So the question that in turns out to be a machlokas. So as the Mishnah begins, if we find a sheretz in the Beit HaMikdash, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, the Kohen actually picks it up with his avnet, which is the most immediately accessible article of clothing. It's his belt, so it's like right there. He just takes it with the edge of his belt. And that way, he's at least making sure shelo la'ashot et ha'tumah. This way, we're not allowing the tumah to stick around. And that's more important than the question, even though I'm spreading tumah, but at least I'm not allowing it to stay there longer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, we wouldn't do that because you don't want to spread tumah. That's marba tumah. Instead, what you would do is you would try to find, let's say, a pair of pliers, not literally pliers, like tongs that would be made out of wood. And that way it's pshutekliyeh, not mekabel tumah. And because of that, there's at least that way you wouldn't be marba tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, now the further question is, all right, so what exactly, where exactly would we be doing this? Mehechan motzinot, where would we remove it? Obviously, b'chol, we'd remove it from anywhere. But when it comes to Shabbos, we also need to be mevatel the tikkun of muktzah. So where would we do that? So that too is a machlokes. Reb Shimon ben Nana says, from the heichal and from the ulam, and mibein ha'ulam v'la mizbeach. We don't take it away from any area where tumah is aser, because it's aser all over the Azorah, obviously. But we take it in terms of the din of the covet for the Beis HaMikdash. So those places, like lifnai v'lifnim, or the Pesach and the ulam, and the area between, which is considered to be, remember from Kalim, when we had the Eser Kedusha, Sebeinu Olam Vela Mizbeach, is Mekudesh from the other areas. So it's a question of treating the areas of Kedusha with sensitivity and with Kovet. Rabbi Akiva says, no, it's not. It's an issue of Tumah. And in order to avoid the Tumah, wherever there's a Chiyav of Karet for walking in while you're tumming, or where you'd have to bring a korban chatas if you walked in accidentally, Mishan motzinoto, that's where you are mechuyev to get rid of it. How exactly I deal with Tuma if I'm not going to get rid of it in an area where I wouldn't take it out, according to Rav Shimon ben Anas, meaning anything besides the mokum from Bein Olam L'Mizbeach and inwards, and according to Rabbi Akiva, so it would be referring, let's say, to Lishakot that are not considered to be Kodesh B'Kedushas Azara. What about that? So that would be Shar Kol Mikomot Kofin Alav Psachter. So we take a pot, a psachter was made of copper, and we use that word psachter, if you remember, to cover the age that's on the Mizbeach while we travel and so on. That's the psachter, big copper pot. That way no one will come to be mittame with it, and leave it there. Says Rabbi Shimon, seemingly out of the blue, and the Gemara is going to ask, what in the world is happening over here? And it turns out that Rabbi Shimon is giving a summary of his shita that is nogea a number of the previous Mishnayos, which means that he sees all of these as connected and did not express his opinion all the way back, it turns out, from the sugya of someone who was yotzei mechutz l'tchum, how far he's allowed to come back in from the tchum. And now Rabbi Shimon is wrapping up his vision of the inyanim of the gezeiros that were made legabe Shabbos and so on. So it turns out that he's referring to different things in what appears to be on the surface one simple statement. Mokom shi'tiru locha chachamim mishalcha natnu locha. You should just know that wherever the chachamim give you what appears to be a dramatic heter, it isn't really a heter. They're giving you what is yours in the first place. Now, what he seems to be saying is, shelo hitiru locha ela mishum shvus. They were never matir anything that the Torah had considered to be usser. They only were matir you the things that they had added in the first place. But that is a rather strange thing to say suddenly here. It's not telling you anything, and it seems to be repeating the same thing twice. Mishalcha natnu lecha. Not to mention the fact that there's a very big difference between saying mishalcha natnu lecha in makom shi'tiru if it was referring to a shvus. I mean, what do you mean it's mine? I mean, whatever the chiyuv is, if the chiyuv is not to go out of the tchum, then it's not mine. Whether that's a drabonon extension or a diraisa, what's the difference? And then the idea, lo yitir lecha mishum shvus, seems to be referring to something else. Now, this is something of a conundrum, which the Gemara is going to try to figure out. So what in the world was Rabbi Shimon trying to say here? And why is it here in this fashion? But that at least tells us one thing very clearly. And that is that the what we detected from the beginning, and the interrelationship, strange interrelationship of Erev and Bichlal to the concept of Rishuyos and different levels of openings and entrances and Beis Hamikdashes and Ulams and Pischai Shel Ulams and the overall idea of how it is that strangely Erevin becomes the central piece of Ekev Asher Shamav Avraham and he was Shamar at Chukotai, in terms of the Mishmeret, how that relates specifically to Erevin, why this was the first takana, what is so central about it to Torah Shebaal Peh, and to the nature of Shvus overall. And note, gentlemen, that the idea of using the word Shvus for a Gezeirah D'Rabbanan is extremely strange, because the word Shvus means something that is connected to Shabbos and to Hotzah. Right, is the fact that you're supposed to be Shev Ish Mimikomo. And we call that Shvus. Now, how in the world? I understand how Muktzah became Shvus. I understand why tying a knot is Mishum Shvus. But I mean, if you're coming to tell me an overall idea that what all issues of Drabonon we call Shvus, again, that seems to imply that there's some really profound connection between the idea of Torah Shebaal Peh Bichlal and this nature of the learning, which we had with Moshe and Yoshua and the Seder HaMishnah and the Machlokas and Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel and things that revolved around the entire understanding of the human condition, is quite remarkable that it should all be included somehow in the relationship between Kodesh and Chol and the different levels of our care for making sure that those remain separate. And therefore, the differences between Kodesh v'Chol in time are obviously going to be expressed in this Masechet in the difference between Kodesh v'Chol in space, so that we have some kind of underlying issue that has to do with the nature of that Havdalah and the spaces that are somehow in between. And that is, as we said, those are liminal spaces which are defined in terms of the Rishuyos in very special ways. They're called a Mokum Ptur, which means they're neither here nor there. That itself is something of a problem for Havdalah. And that's why we came here in the end to discuss even the nature of an askufa, which would be mutter to people from both Rishuyos, as long as you don't transfer between them, and what would be so bad about transferring between them, which is where the Shavuos actually kicked in the first place, so that there is not really a change in the basic topic matter when we get to this last paragraph. It's not just that we're closing the issues of Shabbos together, but that remarkably we're putting together the nature of Havdalah, which we want to increase, and that is why Da'at is such an important part of Masechet Erevin. Do you have to be aware? That started at the very beginning. That's why we learned it from Sukkah, remember? Leman yedu'u dorotechem. You need to be aware of the space that you occupy. You need to be aware of the Havdalah between those spaces, which is part of the Takona of the Lechi and the Korah in the Mavui, so that there are obviously things that go deeply back to my separations itself, which is why it's involved, of course, in Shabbos, in Erevin, in space, and in time, and in the nature of Bria. So we close the Masechet with this Mishnah, and that means it's important for us to understand what that means. Lo yitir lecha ela mishum shvos. Okay, so getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says you have to get that sheretz out of the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Rav Tavi bar Akin, skis na'am Shmuel. If you would have brought in that sheretz, and even something that became tamei from that sheretz, so let's say you brought in a kli that was tamei sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash, you would actually be chayev. Now, the chayev over here, what does that mean? Chayev Rashi brings that you would be chayev, actually karet. But that is simply a mistake, as Rashi himself says elsewhere in the Pirush L'Chumash. And it's very clear from the Sifra that you're not chayev karet on a kli, only chayev karet on a human. And so because of that, apparently the Hagos Hagra changes it to say Malkus Yischaev, not the Yischaev cards. But anyway, why is it that if you bring something which is Tameh from a Sheretz, you are going to be Chayev? But if you bring the Sheretz itself, my gosh, you're putter. That is like very weird. Where would we know such a concept from? My time. So the reason is that in the din of shiluach tameim, which is our chiyuv to make certain that people that are tamei don't stay in the Beis HaMikdash, and this comes to include also tameim in terms of kelim as well, it says, mizachar ad nekeva tishalechu v'lo yitamu et machaneihem asher ani shochen betuchah. So in other words, you have to get rid of things that are zachar v'nekeva. Now, why does it say Zohar v'nekeva, even though it talks in general about lo yitamu et machaneihem, which would include even not Zohar v'nekeva as human? Therefore, it must come to add to teach me that those things which are shayach to the same dinim that Zohar or nekeva are shayach to. Now, what would that be? So they need to have tahara b'mikveh. So just like a human can be put into a mikveh and can become tahar, so too, a kli or whatever it is that you're bringing in to be metame, the mikdash, you would be chayavan, has to have tayr b'mikveh. But the sheretz itself, obviously, there's no way to remove the tumah from a sheretz. It's a yotzer sheretz, she'in lo tayr b'mikveh. And therefore, the sheretz is not something that is open to tayra. You see, we've seen this fascinating idea before in the other direction, that only something which is on a madrega to be shayach to concepts of Tyra is shayach to concepts of Tuma. Something that doesn't have that idea, such as a behema, can't possibly be makabel Tuma. Now, the same thing is true in the opposite direction. The nature of the hakpada, of the relationship of Kedusha to Torah, is only where we're dealing with things that have varied madregas. So they could be tahar, they could be tame, and therefore, in that sense, we are mechuyev to see to it that the exposure in terms of kedusha is in terms of their tahara aspect. But if they are tame because that's what they are, then it's not included. Obviously, I'm mechuyev to get rid of it, but it's not included in the iser of bringing it in. So that would mean that anything that is not shayach to a mikveh, which should include also even kelim that I cannot be metayer, and indeed lema misayeli. Let's bring a raya to Shmuel that it is not usher to bring a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash from this interesting brisa that says mizacharet nekevat shalechu prat lekli cheres. So in what way is it prat lekli cheres? Apparently, because the klisosis Rabbi Yossi Aglili, apparently because my taima must be because of what Shmuel said. Since a kli cheres is different from any other kli, in that it has no tahira other than simply breaking it. So, but as long as it is a kli cheres, it is not shayach to becoming tahor. So, la mishum de letle tahora b'mikveh, is it not because we're comparing zachar and nekeva to this particular issue? A zachar and nekeva can have tahara b'mikveh. That proves that Shmuel was right in understanding why the sheretz itself would not be considered to be usher. Says the Gemara, no, that is not necessarily the point. It may well be that Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that the reason that a kli cheres is not included in mizachar v'ad nekeva is because it's different than a zachar v'nekeva, where specifically the nature of male or female reminds you of the various tumas that are specifically shayach to male or female. And that would have to do with nidais, zivais, and so on. And therefore, it would mean that something that does not have that possibility of becoming tuma betumas medras or tumas mace, which is the other mokar of tuma, so only something that can become an avatuma. But as we saw in Kalim, and when it comes to a kli cheres is not shayach to being makabel tuma from midras or from the dinim of tumas mace to be an av. How do we know that? Well, remember, we learned it, kol asher yipol mitocho yitma, mikol ha'ochel asher yeachel. And we wanted to understand, why is the Torah telling me that only foodstuffs and drink that are inside of kli cheres will be able to be makabel tuma from the kli cheres? Why wouldn't my ring in the kli cheres be makabel tuma from the kli cheres, right? Now, the only conclusion that we were able to gain from there, it was a remarkable density of information conclusion, but was that by being inside of kli cheres, you are not directly in touch with the source of the tuma. And therefore, do not confuse the interior of a kli cheres with tuma in it with the concept of ohel. Because when it comes to ohel, we fill the entire space with tuma. But when it comes to the kli cheres, the space is not filled at all. The tuma radiates to the kli cheres and then radiates away from the kli cheres, and because of that is attenuated in the process. So the sheretz is first metame the kli cheres because it's in its space. Then the kli cheres is metame the oichlun umashkin in its space, which means that the kli cheres is going to be only metame oichlun umashkin simply because the maximum tuma that will be radiated by the kli cheres is that which was already attenuated. So therefore, it would only be a Rishon Latuma. And if it's a Rishon Latuma, Rishon Latuma will only be Metame Eichlun Umashkin, from which we derive that you see, obviously, that your ring will not be Mekabel Tuma from something which is only a Rishon Latuma. That's our first conclusion, is that a Kli is only Mekabel Tuma from an Avatuma. We learn from here. However, being as we already saw that there's a halacha that a mate is considered to be aviavota tuma, and therefore when we end up touching that mate, as we just had in ohalot, even with a kli, then that kli can become an avatuma from touching the aviavota tuma. So then we've got a problem. Because why then do we say necessarily that a kli, your ring, inside of this kli cheres will never be able to be tame because of asher betocha? What about if a kesayit min hameis would fall into this kli cheres? Wouldn't it make the kli cheres an avatuma, and then the kli cheres should be able to be metame other things? Clearly, the kli cheres does not become an avatuma under any circumstances, which is part of what we derive from the fact that there is no din of tumas midras on things made out of porcelain. So that would mean that we understand the Zohar and the Keva as excluding the Klicheres, not because of the complexities of mikvah, which is a secondary issue, but rather because it does never have the Tuma that a Zohar and a Keva have. So that might be the explanation of Rabbi Yossi Haglila, in which case we still would not have a Raya to Shmuel. Now, maybe, and this is the reason that we brought all of this up over here, actually, this whole idea, maybe this relates to the Mishnah. Because, look, if you take a look at our Mishnah, it appears that the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Broka and Rabbi Yudah in the Mishnah is actually relevant to what Shmuel said. So, lema ketanoi. Maybe this gufa is the machlokas in our Mishnah about what to do with the sheretz. So, the Mishnah said, if we find a sheretz that it's kedai, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, to pick up the sheretz with your avnet and get it out of there as quickly as possible in order shalola hashota tatuma. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's much more important not to spread the tumah, not to be marba tumas. If it takes you another 5 minutes or half an hour to find a kli that is pshuta kli eitz and won't become tameh, use that. I note that Moshe is looking in the wrong direction. Yes. Shelo l'rabot atatumah. So it's better to use that and don't add to the tumah that we have. Now, what's that really built on? What's this machlokas all about? So my labaka miflage. Seems to me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, who says that we are most concerned not to allow something which is tame to remain 1 second longer, he apparently disagrees with Shmuel's approach, and he says, since you would be chayev for bringing that sheretz into the Mikdash, so therefore your primary concern is getting rid of that sheretz from the Mikdash. You can't take the additional time, even if it's going to cause additional tuma, but you've got, that's the idea of shiluach tmeim, get rid of it right away. Mashenkin Reb Yehuda says, no, it's not that bad to leave it there. It's more important not to add tuma. So then kasavar amachli sheretz l'mikdash potter. So apparently he holds that you would be putter in this case because it's not similar to Zachar v'Nekeva, which would mean that Shmuel, which is very strange because, what Shmuel would say, a halacha was dependent on a machlokas tanoim in the Mishnah. And therefore, says the Gemara, no, certainly there's no need to say that. It really could be that Kulei Alma agrees that it's chayev and that you certainly, maybe Shmuel is completely wrong, possibly. The halacha b'halacha miflege. There may simply be a straight-out machlokas about what is more important, even though the Torah wants me to make sure that I remove tuma, because there's two isurim. There's isurim of bringing tuma, and there's isurim of leaving tuma. So mar savashu ye tuma adim. So Rav Yehuda holds it's better to allow the tuma there instead of making the avnet tame. Umar savrafushe tuma adim. It's better to be marbe than to allow the sheretz to remain in the azara. Okay, fine. That, I understand, is not necessarily Shmuel. But maybe Shmuel actually is the basis of the machlokas, the second machlokas. The second machlokas was the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Nanaz and Rabbi Akiva. And that was the machlokas. Where do we need to get that sheretz out of? Meaning on Shabbos. Where did the Chachamim give us the right to be over on the dinim of Muktza on Shabbos? So the machlokas over there was, Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas says, you don't take it out of the anywhere where it's supposed to be removed. It's just taken out as a din in the kovod of the heichal and in the ulam, and ben olam v'amizbeach. Okay, so then apparently, man diyamar mi'azara los, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, who said that we don't take it out of all of the azara, even though the iser d'oraisa of shehiya is anywhere in the azara, he holds that hamachnis sheretz lamigdash patur. So he seems to agree with Shmuel. So since the Torah already showed us that you're not in the same level of iser, bringing something like a sheretz that has no tire of a mikveh into the Azara. So because of that, we also are not going to be makel on the dinim of Muktzah of taking it out of the Azara, because it is not the primary focus of the Torah, a sheretz, because it's not like Zochem and Akeva, like Shmuel said, Mashenkin Rabbi Akiva, who said you have to take the sheretz out from anywhere. He apparently holds that the Shehiya is much more chomor, because any place that you would bring that sheretz into the Azara, you would be chayev, because he doesn't darshan this pasuk the way that Shmuel darshans the pasuk, and he would hold that bringing a sheretz into the Beis HaMikdash is a chayev, in which case, if it's an diraisa, it's going to be mechayev mikores, then certainly the Rabbanan should be mekel on the dinim of Muktzah, and that would be a very interesting approach. Says the Gemara, again, we do not want to say that Shmuel is dependent in a machlokas tanayim. It could be, again, everybody might agree that this has nothing to do with that question. Maybe it is usur to bring in. The question over here is based on a pasuk. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it could be that actually it's usur, and nonetheless, we're looking at a pasuk. This is an amazing story in which after Chizkiyo became the Melech of Yehuda, he went to be metayer at the Beis HaMikdash from all of the things that Ahaz had done that was metame the Beis HaMikdash. Tuma of Avodah Zorah, which has the same din of Tuma's mace in the Beis HaMikdash. And it describes over there how he had brought an entire assembly line of people that would take out anything that they found from the time of Achav that was choshed to be tomei with Tumas Avodah Zarah. They would bring it out to the Azara, and from the Azara, the Levium would take it out and destroy it by Nachal Kidron. Okay, so what happens over there, it says, Vayavo HaKohanim Lifnima Beit Hashem L'taher. So the Kohanim would go inside of the Beis HaMikdash and the Eichal itself, and they went in order to be metayer the Beis HaMikdash. Vayotziu et kol ha-tumah shematzu be-Eichal Hashem. Anything that was found in the Eichal, which includes the entire Eichal, they would bring this out to the Azara, l'chatzar Beit Hashem. From there, vayikablu ha-Levim, their Levim took it from the Kohanim, in order to bring it out, l'nachal kidron chutzah. So it was taken out of the Beis HaMikdash and out of the entire area down to nachal kidron. So apparently, we didn't want the Kohanim to be involved after the point of taking it from the inside. So therefore, what Rabbi Shimon ben Nana says is, look, you see from here, that mide ishtani ba'azara balavim. So since we were so makbid over here, to instead of having the Kohanim, who were already Tamei anyway, so instead of having the Kohanim go out and take it to Nachal Kidron, they Bedavka didn't do that. Apparently it's not as chomor to have the Tuma in the Azara. So we were more makbid when it came to the Heichal, and that's why he holds we're more makbid in the Heichal as well, because if the Chachomim at that time of Chizkiyo, they didn't allow the Kohanim to be mit Tamei in order to take out the Avodah Zarah from the Azara itself. So apparently, we don't doche the Tumah, the Taira of Kohanim, for that purpose. In which case, I could take it out only where there's no particular Isser. And therefore, he makes the difference over here as well. So what does Rabbi Akiva do with this? I mean, Rabbi Akiva says it's all one din, right? So why exactly were we makbit to say that the Heichal, there we needed to have the Kohanim, and the Azara, there we use Levim. According to Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, it's all one halacha. He answers the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva says, listen, it's very obvious what the answer is. It's not that there's a difference between the Azara and the Heichal in terms of our hakpoda on the Tuma. There's a din that you're not allowed to go into the Heichal, right? So only Kohanim are allowed to go into the Heichal at Tzorach Avodah. So, okay, so then that means that just like Bezot Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh, that's in terms of Lifnai V'Lifnim, that's a din in the Kohuna. You have to bring the Ketores. Wherever there is a mitzvah that you need to take care of things in the Beis Hamikdash itself, in the Heichal itself, it's given only to Kohanim. We never find that Levim are given a heter to go in. So because of that, for this necessity as well, and the need to remove Tumah from the Heichal, so Mar Safar Rabbi Akiva holds ad Heichal delo efshar b'Levim. So wherever we're talking about a place in the Beis Hamikdash that Levim are never allowed to enter, so therefore we told the Kohanim to go and do it. But once we're outside and we're in the Azara, and now it's mutter for Levim to take it, then we would prefer to be Metame Levim instead of being Metame Kayanim. Mashenkin in the Mishnah, the Sheretz is going to be in exactly the same place where the Isser is. If you don't be Mevater on your Isser of Muktzah, you're going to leave it there the entire Shabbos, says Rabbi Akiva. That doesn't make sense. Why would it be different than any other area? Tana Rabbanan. Now, this raises an entire different question. Let's say that the air conditioning in the Heichal breaks down. Who fixes the air conditioning? So, I mean, suppose the only guy to fix the air conditioning you can find is a Levi or a Yisrael. What if he's even Tamei? There's not a single air conditioner repairman who is Tahar. I mean, so how do we deal with those issues? We know, remember, we had... when we were learning Midas, we know that there were elevators that were basically, you could get into the elevator from the second story above the Heichal. It didn't have the Kedushas Heichal. And then the elevators would be along the entire wall. So then if you needed to repair something on the wall, let's say an electrical socket went bad or something, you get into the elevator is open against the wall. So as the elevator comes down, you stop the elevator at that point, repair the wall, or if you need to do things that are less technical, what they actually did need to do all the time in the Heichal, rather than air conditioning repairs, was to utilize the gold tiles that they would put up. The more they were able to afford, they would continue to put pure gold up against the wall of the inside of the Heichal. Those were the Tasei Zahav. And anything else that required, obviously, Berek HaBayis is Berek HaBayis. Things tend to collapse, and you need to build, keep them going. So the norm was to be able to use the elevator. The elevator itself wasn't really a problem of coming into the Heichal because it was a completely different rishus, a malkut patur, essentially, in which you would be in the Heichal but wouldn't be in the Heichal. But how about if you were dealing with something that could not be dealt with through the elevator? So then what do we do? I mean, here the Torah is saying, Bezos Yavo Aaron Ela Kodesh, and nobody's allowed to come in there. Are we actually going to send in an air conditioning repairman? I mean, how exactly would we do something like that? And so, because of that, we need to see this bright. Tana Rabbanan, Hakol Nichmasim BeHeichal, anyone is allowed to enter the Heichal in order to build in the Heichal, to fix something that broke in the Heichal, or if Tumah was in the Heichal, lohotzi et ha-tumah. Now, it's certainly better, the mitzvah is, if you have a Kohen who can do all of this stuff, air conditioning vents, so then fine, get a Kohen. But suppose there is no Kohen who can do that. Emein sham Kohen, so take the next level of Kedusha, so bring in Levim. If there's no Levim, then bring in Yisraelim if necessary. Now, note that Ide Ve'ide, whether we're talking about Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim, we prefer Tahorim. What about if we don't have Tahorim? Omer Ravuna, well, you know Rav Kahana. I mean, Rav Kahana is like really big on the Kahuna, right? So he's always saying things, we find this in many places. Rav Kahana was always Misayeya Kohani. So he always brought rayas about how Kohanim are better than everybody else, or heterim for Kohanim, and so on and so forth. This was standard Rav Kahana fare. So he had another braisa that he would quote about this issue that was also Misayeya Kohani. And he brought in a braisa like this. The Tani Rav Kahana, Mitoch Shneemar. Since it says in the pasuk, and here it's talking about a bal mum, ach el haparochet lo yavo ve'el hamizbeach, and so on, mumbo. So note the word ach. So yocho lo yu kohanim ba'alei mumayim nichnasim bein ulam ve'el hamizbeach lasot rikuei pachim. I mean, it says over here he can't even come up to the mizbeach if he's a bal mum. Now, what does that mean? He can't come to the mizbeach if he's a bal mum because he's not supposed to do aveda there? or he's literally not allowed to be in that space. That's where we're going to come now to darshan the ach. And the diuk that we're making is like this. Since it says ach, so you might think he's not even allowed in there for bringing in work. Lasot rikuei pachim. These rikuei pachim are the gold tiles, the pure gold tiles that you put on the walls, and this you would put on even in the kodesh hakodashim. Talmud lomer ach chalak. When you have the word ach, remember it always means partially. So even though I'm telling you achalam is beach lo yavo, it means for specific purposes, but for other purposes not. And therefore, we understand that it's coming to tell me that a Kohen with a mum is certainly, even though he may not be allowed to come ben olam lemizbeach, certainly not further in order to do aveda, but he can come in order to repair the air conditioning. Now, continues the bright. The mitzvah, of course, would be that you would not use a Kohen as a bal mum, as we prefer always to use tamimim, as part of the dinim of what needs to be done for the Beis HaMikdash. So mitzvah b'tmimim. But how about if there are no tmimim around? Then if ain sham tmimim, so then even balei mumin, as we just learned. And now it adds mitzvah b'tahorim. Furthermore, we would rather have someone who's tahor, but im ain sham tahorim, nichnasim tmeim. Now note that it doesn't say anything about a Yisrael. Right? It says Kohanim. So Ide v'Ide, whether you're Tameh or whether you're Tahar, we're talking about Kohanim doing this, but not Yisraelim, which would mean that even a Tameh Kohen is preferred to a Tahar Yisrael. Okay, Iboilo. The question is, now that's why we're calling it, by the way, Misayea Kohanim, because the Brisa that we had earlier before Rivkana came along, it's saying Taherin of any kind are preferable to Tameim, which would mean that even a Yisrael who is Tohar is Odif than a Kohen, Mashenkin, Rav Kahana, Messiah Kahani. He's like very big on the Kohanim, so he says that's not true. But now the question is, suppose you have a Kohen, and you have a choice between bringing in an air conditioner repairman who is a Baal Mum, or both of them are Kohanim, of course, you know, it's Kohen and Sons air conditioning. And the question is, one of them is a Baal Mum, and one of them is Tameh. So which one do we prefer? Ezo mehem nichnas. So Reb Chiya bar Ashi, Omar Rav, it's better to let the Tameh in. Why? Because a Tameh is Ishtrei Bavadas Tzibor. Since we know that from the din of B'moado, that B'moado means Afilu Betuma, and that it's Kedai for you to go ahead and to do what needs to be done, let's say to bring your carbon, the carbon tamid, or the carbon pesach, anything that is b'moado, to bring it, even if necessary, to bring it betuma. So because of that, it's clear that the Torah is definitely ma'adif. It prefers you to use a kohen who's tameh if necessary, because if it's the avodah satzibor, use the kohen who's tameh. So if that, and that's even where we're not talking about going in for these purposes. So if that's the case, it makes perfectly good sense that that's exactly what we should do over here. The best thing to do is to use the same kohen that we would have used if we needed to bring a carbon. Okay, because he's ishtri above avodas tzibor, as Rabbi Elazar says. No, I prefer the Baal Mum. Why? Because a kohen whose tamei can definitely never eat from the karbanas, right? It's usher for him to eat. Masha ein kein, a Baal Mum, dafka, is allowed to eat. The ishtri b'achilas kochim, he is allowed to eat specifically. It says, lechem elokov, mikodesh hakodashim, umen hakodashim, yochel, out of its way to make sure that the kohen Baal Mum, we understand, is allowed to eat. So if that's the case, isn't that more kedai to use him? Okay, very good. Comes along Rabbi Shimon now, and out of the blue, speaks about something that does not seem to have relevance to the Mishnah that we're talking about. And as I pointed out in the Mishnah, this means that basically we're taking for granted that all of these inyanim of shvusim and the nature of these reshuyos and tchumim, which to us appear to be like, whoa, totally different questions, all suddenly come together. Rabbi Shimon never bothered saying what he wanted to say until he completed these issues of the difference between the Beis HaMikdash and the various parts of the Beis HaMikdash and so on. All of a sudden, he comes up with this. What is he talking about, Eskimo? What was he referring to? Amazingly, he was referring to the Mishnah, which was 50-some dafim ago, right? Amazing about what the din is of somebody who is caught outside of the tchum. So he was here, shechutz l'tchum, right? So it says over there in the Mishnah, filu ama achat lo yikanes. And there, Rabbi Shimon Omer, filu chameshes re'ama, you've got a leeway, even 15 amos worth of leeway. Why is that? Lefi she'ena mashochot mematzina tamidot, because remember, the people that are measuring are not measuring exactly. Remember, there were two approaches. There's one approach in Rashi was that we have to take off the hand breadths on either side of these of the ropes that were used. And when we added up those tvachim, amazingly, it came out to exactly 15 additional amas. That was beautiful. Anyway, but that was what Rabbi Shimon said over there. So what Rabbi Shimon wants to explain now is what appears to be ostensibly a bit of a contradiction in how it is he's treating the Chumrah of Shabbos Legabi the Beis HaMikdash, and how it is he's treating the Chumrah of Shabbos Legabi Tchumim. This is crazy, because the other Mishnah where he expressed an opinion about the Beis HaMikdash, that was also, I mean, it's not something that we've been dealing with now. This was back on Kuf Beis, where we were talking about, should I tie the string or should I bow the string, right? And over there, he seems to be more machmir. So how do we explain that, right? So he's coming now to explain, look, there's two different ways that I'm dealing with this thing. There's some areas when it comes to the Mishnayos that we've been talking about here in Erevin, where you were not really given a kula, and had nothing to do with giving you something that wasn't yours in the first place. What's that referring to? As I pointed out in the Mishnah, it doesn't make sense to be referring to Shavuos. What that's referring to is the Mishnah about somebody who wanders out of the Tchum. And over there, what Rabbi Shimon is saying, look, the reason that over there you can go up to 15 amos is because you were not honestly given the correct Tchum. When the signs are put up that say Tchum, they are bedavka 15 amos short, in order to provide for people who may be caught, like you, not having paid proper attention, suddenly come to realize, oh my God, I went too far, right? That is the meaning of Mishalcha Natnu Lecha. They're just giving you back what they fooled you with. That's not the din of Shavuos. Because Eina Mishalchot M'matzina Tamidot, in the first place, in order to make certain that there won't be a problem for somebody who was Toya. And the Tanna Kamma was saying he can't go in at all. He's got to stick right where he is, says Rabbi Shimon, not true. He could be Ikanes. But why Ikanes? Because it's all yours anyway. The last piece, which has nothing to do with the first piece, Shelo Itir Lecha Ela Mishum Shavuos, what was he referring to over there? There, he was referring to something entirely different. Lo Itiru Ela Mishum Shavuos, we're going to see when we have to give our formal goodbyes to this Masechet, which is terribly sad. But one thing that is so incredibly striking about this Mishnah is this unbelievable ending of Rabbi Shimon. It's like, all of a sudden, I'm talking about things that have absolutely nothing to do with the sugya that I'm dealing with, and yet now I'm talking about it 50 pages later, and we're supposed to understand that, yes, I'm sure you do recall, well, of course we do, as I said, because what we're looking at is a beautifully panoply, an entire vision of what the relationship is of the inyanim, of the differences between Rishuyas in terms of Havdola. There's Rishuyas of Kodesh and Chol in time, Rishuyas of Kodesh and Chol in space. The two of them are so profoundly interconnected in Maitzah Bereishis. And throughout, remember, I mean, all of these dinim are like, what is Jeff writing over here? Like his original view of Mukta, Rabbi Shimon. Okay, great. Beautiful. Okay, everybody. This has been wonderful, but don't think we're giving up.